Okay, we'll come back to you in a few minutes. But first we're going to read Acts chapter 4 together, okay? So now just to set the scene before we dive in, we're in Jerusalem. We're in the busiest part of the temple. There are people going in and out. And center stage is a beggar who couldn't walk. And he used to sit actually by one of the temple gates. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John heal him instantly in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus. Now that leads to God being praised and the crowds being amazed. And as the people gather round to see the lame man dancing, Peter and John begin to speak. Why so surprised? Of course the name of Jesus has great power. After all, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead, just like the prophets said. So instead of being surprised, you should listen, you should repent. Just like that, a miraculous healing has turned into a challenging sermon. By now the crowd is attracting some official attention, and so we get to chapter 4, verse 1. Read with me from verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guards and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Now, the captain of the temple guard was like the chief of the temple police. As the crowd gathered in this busiest part of the temple, he's on hand to keep the peace. Verse 2. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, the Sadducees, they were a small but powerful group who did not believe in resurrection. And so they thought that Peter and John were preaching heresy. So you can understand why they are upset, in the same way that we would be if someone came in here this morning and started teaching lies. Verse 3. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. You see, the whole book of Acts is about mission unstoppable. It's about the risen Lord Jesus making himself known through his people, starting in Jerusalem and then spreading to the ends of the earth. At every turn, there is opposition. The enemy is always trying to stop them. But this is mission unstoppable. And so even as Peter and John are arrested, more people become Christians. Verse 5. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. All the religious heavyweights gather together in the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the supreme court of the Jews. 71 of the richest, smartest, powerfulest men in the whole world, including verse 6, Annas, the high priest, who was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family, all of the big names. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this? On whose authority? Don't you know you did this on our turf? This is the temple. Who do you think you are?" Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." He says, you lot, you might be the big names, the 71 smartest, powerfulest, most richest people in the land. You might be the big names, but the biggest name of all is the name of Jesus. Not Annas, not Caiaphas, not anyone else. The name of Jesus alone has the power to save. Do we believe that this morning?
Yeah.
Verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. In contrast to the 71 richest, smartest, powerfulest men in all the land, up stands Peter, the fisherman. No degree, no letters after his name, no theological training, but he had been with Jesus. What a privilege. Although actually to the Sanhedrin, that was like a black mark against their name because Jesus was seen as a rebel and so all of his mates were suspicious too. Verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign and we cannot deny it. We can't deny the proof of the truth. But to stop this thing from spreading any further, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Once again, the enemy tries to stop Mission Unstoppable. And now you understand why Gareth is sat at the front with a gag over his mouth. This is a picture of what the enemy tries to do to God's people. He tries to close our mouths and stop us from speaking in the name of Jesus. Now, before you pass out, you can go. You can take off if you want. Thank you. You've served your purpose. Give me your gag, though. I'll use it as an illustration. This is what the enemy tries to do to us. He tries to close our mouths and stop us from speaking in the name of Jesus. You can see that in verse 18. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Did you know Peter and John were Jesus' closest friends? They were in his inner circle. They got to see things that even the rest of the 12 disciples didn't get to see. For example, Peter and John were both there on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured before them. And they caught an awesome glimpse of Jesus' glory. Peter and John both had close-up views at the cross. Peter and John were the first disciples on the scene at the empty grave. They had ringside seats. There was no one better place to see who Jesus is and what Jesus does. And so they say, "I'm sorry. I just can't help overflowing with the joy of what I've seen with my own two eyes." Verse 21. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old, just like Gareth. Shut up or else. That's the threat which is ringing in the ears of the early church. Shut up or else. And so we get to today's model prayer. And from the story so far, we can see that this prayer is going to teach us how to pray when we are facing opposition. When the enemy is trying to stop Mission Unstoppable by gagging our mouths to stop us speaking in the name of Jesus. And the very same thing is happening to us today. There's always opposition, not least from the people who are in charge, who are telling us to shut up or else. For Peter and John, the hot topic was resurrection. For us, the hot topics might be different, but we often come up against people and policies and power which are trying to gag us and stop us speaking in the name of Jesus. We live in a culture where more and more our words are being censored. Now here's a couple of examples. From this week, magistrates in the UK, they are allowed to think that a child would be better off with a father and a mother, but they are not allowed to say it. And if they say it, they will lose their job. Last week, a Scottish student was thrown out of his class for saying that there were only two genders, male or female. A video has gone viral online and it captures the teacher telling him off, saying this: "I'm afraid your opinion is not inclusive. You chose to make an issue of this. I said, are you really going here? That was your opportunity to keep quiet. Could you please keep that opinion to your own house, not in the school? I am stating what is national school authority policy." Do you see what's happening? Forget freedom of speech. In the name of tolerance, anything that goes against the party line is now unacceptable to say out loud. You're allowed to believe it in your head, but keep it to yourself. Now, of course, those things, they don't just affect Christians, but it's easy to see how this is going to have an impact on our mission to declare the unchanging truths of the Bible. The enemy is trying to stop Mission Unstoppable with the threat of what might happen if you stick to the truths of God's words. I wonder what it is for you. I wonder where you feel the pinch of the gag tightening on you. Perhaps in the workplace, you're fearful of speaking about Jesus because you've heard of people losing their jobs for less. Perhaps talking about Jesus has already lost you some friends and you wonder if you did the right thing. Maybe it's opposition from your family who make threats to cut you out of their life. Maybe you know that you're going to get in trouble at school if you say things how they are. Now, of course, we do need to be wise. We don't need to go out of our way to cause offence to people for the sake of it. We do need to be sensitive, speaking in the name of Jesus in ways and at times that are appropriate to the settings that we've been put in. So it's not like I'm saying, let's just go out and offend everyone we meet. But at the same time, we do need to open our mouths to talk about Jesus. Our mission is to share a message, and you can't share a message without opening your mouth. The enemy is desperately trying to stop Mission Unstoppable. The threats are real. The consequences are growing in their severity. And even if we're not directly affected now, we will be very soon. So here's how to pray when we are told, shut up or else. When the gag is tightening around our mouth. The first thing we need to do is pray. And here's how to do it. So let's read from verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Basically, shut up or else. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and with the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's how to pray when we've been told to shut up or else. So let's follow their model. Here's the first thing to pray. The first thing to pray is, you made the world. God, you made the world. That is our starting point. That's our foundation. Verse 24. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. The other week, I watched a sunset with my wife. It's very romantic, isn't it? I watched a sunset with my wife. We don't do it often. But as we watched, it just really struck me how amazing an artist God is. As the pink clouds kind of scuttled along, not only did the picture change every minute, but also because it's in 3D, it just struck me that everyone who's looking at that picture has a slightly different angle because they're looking at it from different places. So the particular postcard view that Riss and I had as we watched this sunset was God's gift directly to us. Only we were experiencing that thing in that moment. Amazing. And the scale of this painting is just huge. The sky is the biggest canvas there is, and God is the master artist. Now, I don't often spend time just looking at creation, but I think I should. God's power, his creativity, and his kindness, it puts everything in perspective. Look at verse 24 again. You made the heavens and the earth and the seas. They're huge. I think this is the point of the first sentence in this prayer. I think it's designed to put everything in perspective. You see, as these believers gather together with those threats ringing in their ears, the first thing they do is ground themselves in the fact that their God made the whole world. You are the sovereign, reigning king of creation. Notice, you made the heavens, that's the sky. You made the earth, that's the ground. You made the seas, that's the water. So you made all parts of the earth and everything in them. As creator and sustainer, there is no thing outside of your royal rule. From stars to spiders, from planets to peas, you made it all. That's such a helpful foundation to our prayers. It puts everything into perspective. To borrow an illustration that Gareth has used before, to the Lego man, the slightly bigger Duplo man seems like quite a big and scary opponent. To those believers, the courts and the Sanhedrin and the authorities who were threatening them seemed like a pretty big and overwhelming enemy. To us today, when we see the whole world set up against Jesus trying to stop us from speaking, it seems like quite an overwhelming threat. But when you stop to look up and realize that above it all stands someone who is so much bigger, then that helps to shrink our problems down to their proper size. It's not that they aren't big, they are. But in comparison to God, it's nothing. And I think that's the point of this prayer, to ground ourselves in the bigness of God, the power that he has. When the world rages against God, even when we are on the receiving end of the enemy's attacks, we've got to remember that it's not just about little old us. We have God on our side. Even if all the world directed all their resources against our Creator God, they would not make a dent. It's like trying to attack a rhino with matchsticks. It's not going to happen. And so as these early believers are faced with a big and scary problem, they open the prayer by grounding themselves in the fact that God made the world. Creation is in your hands. Before we get to the problem at hand, before we begin to think about these threats, this is our foundation. First and foremost, God, you are the one who made the world. I think that's a brilliant place to start any prayer, really. No matter what the threat is, whether it be opposition from those who are trying to gag us and stop us speaking in the name of Jesus, or even if it's something much more personal, a personal trial, anything that leaves you fearful and overwhelmed, this is a brilliant place to start. When you feel like you are going under, just look up. Have a look at the sky. All of that is in God's hands. I think that's another reason why it can be really helpful to pray outside. Because when our ceiling is not this ceiling, but when our ceiling is the sky, it makes you realize just how big God is and how powerful prayer is. And so when we're told to shut up or else, we need to come into God's presence and take the time to remember who he is. You made the world. That's the first thing to pray. Here's the second. You wrote the script. You made the world and you wrote the script. Opposition is part of your plan. In fact, it always has been. In verse 25, look down there. You can see that they quote from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. People conspire together against God's chosen king. Hundreds of years ago, you spoke through David and said, this is the kind of thing that happens. And guess what? It happened exactly according to your script. Look at verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Not only is God sovereign over creation, he's also sovereign over history. Even evil plays into God's hands. When a king and a ruler banded together against the anointed Lord Jesus, it was not a surprise. It was not a plot twist. It was all part of God's script. From before the creation of the world, it was always the plan for the Messiah to be rejected. It was always in the script for King Jesus to wear a crown of thorns. The cross was a result of God's power, not his weakness. It was all according to his will. Before time even existed, the date for Good Friday was already in the diary. The day when our Lord Jesus would die in the place of those who rage against him. Where he would take the punishment that I deserve for all of the ways that I try to kick him off his throne. All of the ways that I want to be in charge. Opposition is part of your plan. And so as these first century believers come up against opposition of their own, it's not surprising. This has always been the case, and it will always be the case. People just don't like Jesus. And so opposition is to be expected. They oppose Jesus by opposing his people, us. So for us, when people try to gag us, when the enemy tries to stop Mission Unstoppable, there's nothing wrong. That's normal. In fact, this same Peter, he later wrote to some Christians who were going through a tough time, and he said, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you, as though something strange were happening." He said, "It's not strange, you're sharing in the sufferings of Christ." You see, not only has God written the script, but he's also shown us the script ahead of time in his word. So as we face increasing opposition, as people tell us to shut up or else, we can tell God in prayer, "Lord, we trust your plan. You wrote the script." But actually, it gets even better than that. Because God wrote the script, not only is opposition predicted, it's also pointless. That's clear from the rest of Psalm 2. Psalm 2 goes on to explain that as the kings and the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed, do you know where God is? It says, God is in heaven, looking down and laughing. Pointless. God's king reigns. Don't rise up against him. Bow down before him. Don't stab his back. Kiss his feet. And at the end of the psalm, it makes it very clear that not only is rebelling against God's king pointless, it's also dangerous. Because the king will destroy you. There are some of us here this morning who are rebelling against King Jesus. We don't like what he says. We don't agree with him in his words. We don't want to listen to him. We're basically telling him to shut up. Even if we come here, if you ignore Jesus' words, you're basically telling him just to shut up or else. Even though he is the creator, we don't want to bow to his royal rule. We'd much rather be the one calling the shots. We'd much rather be the ones in charge of our own lives. We'd much rather do things our way, not his. We don't want to be constrained to what he says in his words. Is that you this morning? If that is you, then I've got to warn you. Rebelling against God's king is pointless. You cannot stop Mission Unstoppable. You cannot change the script. When the credits roll at the end of the movie, Jesus is still going to be on the throne. You can't knock him off. And if you try to knock him off, you're in a very dangerous place. The Bible says that you are headed for destruction, that he will judge his enemies. But praise God that his script, which he has revealed to us in his word, his script took this King Jesus to a cross where he died in the place of rebels, in the place of people like me and you. And so if you do get off his throne, if you do bow the knee to his rule, then instead of destruction, you'll end up in his forever kingdom. That's the wonderful good news available to you. And that's the massive hope that there is for God's people. That's the great hope for believers under pressure. God, you wrote the script. And so we can trust that opposition is part of your plan. And we can trust that the enemy will not win. We can trust that Jesus reigns and he always will. Isn't that good news this morning? For those of us who are his people, isn't it encouraging in the face of opposition that you face that Jesus reigns and he always will? Praise God. And so these two things, there you go. These like eight things up on the screen there. These first two things are the grounding truths for the rest of the prayer. Lord, you made the world and you wrote the script. And so, thirdly, as you can see on the screen, help us keep going. You made the world, you wrote the script. And so help us keep going. Now this is a really key thing. It would have been easy for those early believers to rush straight into asking God for stuff. After all, they're under threat. They could have just gone, Lord, please help us with this. But instead, they've taken the time to ground themselves in the truth of who God is and what God has revealed in his word. And that enables them then to ask the right thing. Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Isn't that amazing? More of the same, please. They don't ask the Lord to remove the threats. They don't say, Lord, would you smite down those nasty Sanhedrin? Lord, would you give us our religious freedom? Instead, they ask, Lord, help us to keep going. They ask for the courage to keep opening their mouths, even though they know they're going to walk straight into more trouble, which is exactly what happens, actually. And don't let us go under the radar. Verse 30, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They've already seen how dangerous it is to draw attention to themselves, but that doesn't stop them. Lord, please would you send more proofs of your power. Send more proofs of the power of the name of the Lord Jesus. More of the same, please. Keep speaking, keep healing for the sake of the name of Jesus. What an awesome thing to pray. They do not ask to be free from the trial, but for help to be faithful in the trial. That's a helpful thing for all of us, whatever trial we're going through. They do not ask to be free from the trial, but for help to be faithful in the trial. And I hope that prayer shapes my prayer life, because if I'm honest, often my prayers are quite selfish. And really, I want God to help me have an easy life. But for these early believers, their priority was for God's glory, not their own comfort. Lord, help us keep going. And like I say, that's a prayer that we are going to need to pray more and more in our time as we face more and more opposition. As our enemy, the devil, uses the authorities and their threats to gag us. As the pressure mounts, we'll be tempted to keep our heads down, to take the comfortable path of silence. In fact, we'll convince ourselves that keeping quiet is the right thing to do, the sensible choice. We'll say things like, well, we don't need to speak about Jesus, we'll just win people for Jesus by the way that we live. But our mission is to share a message. And you can't share a message without opening your mouth. And perhaps some of us are feeling the gag getting tight. Maybe when we see an opportunity to speak about Jesus, we hesitate. Fear stops us from opening our mouth. When someone asks our view on a particular issue, perhaps we say something vague or misleading. Or just downright untrue. Perhaps some of us have already compromised on Bible truths for fear of what might happen. If that's you, can I call you to repent? And as you do, you can be confident that you will be forgiven. I love the fact that this is Peter speaking so boldly. This same Peter, unashamed of the name of Jesus, who just 3 weeks earlier, or a few weeks earlier, had denied Jesus 3 times for the fear of what might happen to him. This same Peter, when he realized what he'd done, it led to sorrow, it led to repentance, and the Lord Jesus gently restored him to be a man who just can't help speaking about the things that he's seen and heard, even though it would take him to his own execution. Isn't that wonderful grace from Jesus? The free forgiveness that is found at the cross. Come to Jesus, find forgiveness and restoration for all the times that you have not been courageous in speaking his name. And come to him to ask for help to keep going. We cannot do this on our own. The threats are real. The consequences are serious. The enemy is scary. More and more, we will be gagged. We'll be told to shut up or else. And no matter how brave a person you are, you will not be able to keep speaking in the name of Jesus unless you are given Holy Spirit boldness. You know, we've heard already this morning about people who are going to various parts of the world, some of which I know, particularly for David, will be in a place where he will not be allowed to speak openly in the name of Jesus. Is that right, David? It'll be a dangerous place. And David, you will not be able to keep speaking about Jesus unless you have Holy Spirit boldness. And for all of us in this part of London, even for us, we will not be able to keep speaking about Jesus unless we have Holy Spirit boldness. And how are we going to get Holy Spirit boldness? By asking. Thank you, Phil. By asking for it. And so we need to pray. We need to ask that God will help us to keep going. And look what happens in verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, a sign of God's presence. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God answered prayer. He showed up and the place was shaken. And now, did you notice? They are all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. At the beginning of the chapter, it was just Peter filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking the word boldly. But now they are all doing that. It's amazing how God works. You cannot stop mission unstoppable. In fact, the harder you press down, the wider it spreads. The more opposition we face, the bolder we become. You don't need a theology degree to speak about Jesus. You don't need to have an outgoing character to be courageous. You don't have to have a powerful voice. You don't need to have all the answers. You don't need to be a missionary to go on mission. If you have been with Jesus, if you've been given the Spirit of Jesus, then you can speak about Jesus. So as the gag tightens, as the enemy tries to stop Mission Unstoppable, as we are told to shut up or else, let's ask God for the Holy Spirit boldness to keep going for the glory of the powerful name of our Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads and ask for that now.